I am so excited, you guys. I get a chance to speak with someone I've been wanting to talk to. It's Trevor Jones. He's the author of Major, A Soldier Dog. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm just so excited because you have written some really cool books over the years. You are the director and CEO of History Nebraska, and I got to tell you, I love history. You have worked so much, and you're an award-winning author. So, I mean, this is like a real honor for me.
Well, thank you.
Well, tell me about the book. What was the Dogs of Defense program, and how did it come to be?
Well, Major Soldier Dog is about a dog in World War II, and it's a children's book told from the perspective of a dog.
Aww.
And what happened during World War II is when the United States entered World War II, over 75 years ago, almost 80 years ago now, we were suddenly fighting a war on two fronts, but we didn't have any dogs. And lots of other countries had been using dogs in the military, but the United States had no dogs, and we were looking for any way to free up a soldier to do, you know, something else. And the thought was, well, dogs could help. They could guard military installations like munition factories. They could go out on patrols. You know, maybe they could detect landmines with their noses. You know, they could do all kinds of things, but they didn't have any dogs. So what they did was they asked the American people to donate their pets to the war effort, and there was a program called Dogs for Defense. And so the American people did this. They gave up their pets. These were just regular people like you and I, and they were regular pets like we have today. And they said, you know, people were like, well, if my dog can help win this war, I'm going to send it off to war. And so what they did is they put them on trains, and they put them in crates, and they shipped them off to places like Fort Robinson, Nebraska, in the western part of Nebraska, the largest dog training center in World War II. And then they basically took those dogs and put them through boot camp, and they became soldier dogs, and they served in every theater of the war in World War II. Any place the United States was fighting in World War II, there were dogs there with them.
Wow, that is amazing. Did their presence help in the war effort?
Absolutely. They had a lot of ideas about what dogs could do. Some of them, they were less good at than others. Some of them, they just didn't have the technology like we do today. But one of the things dogs were great at was sniffing out ambushes. Now, if you think about a dog, if you're a dog owner, you know that their sense of smell is way better than yours. And what they found is, especially like places in the South Pacific where we were fighting in deep jungles, that it was very easy, you know, for somebody to stage an ambush. But if you had a dog with you, a trained dog, they could smell out or hear people ahead of them, and they would alert their handler that there was an ambush. And what they would do is, you know, you could back up or go around or call in an artillery strike. And, you know, soldiers credited dogs with saving hundreds, if not thousands, of American lives in the Pacific alone. And they used the dogs in Europe for the same purpose. And they were really good. And then Major, a soldier dog, our dog hero, Major, that's his name, he was a scout dog. And so we tell the story of what it was like to be a scout dog in World War II.
Well, I've got to ask you, at the end of the war, what happened to the dogs?
This is my favorite part of the story, because the military, the U.S. military, felt very strongly that these dogs were not just a military asset, that they had been a loan from the American people. So they worked really hard to get them back to folks.
Oh.
And so what happened was, so you might have donated your dog 2 years before, and when the war ended, they brought the dogs back to Fort Robinson, Nebraska, wherever they were around the world, shipped them back, and then they spent weeks detraining them to be pets again.
Oh.
And so they basically made them civilians. They had made them soldiers, and now they work to make them civilians. And so then they shipped the dog back to you at government expense, and you, if you were lucky, and you know not everybody was, because dogs were killed in World War II. They died in combat. They died of disease. They died of accidents. But if you were lucky, your dog had survived, you would get your dog back. And not only got your dog back, you got a little doggy discharge paper saying that your dog had served honorably and been discharged from the military, you know, just like a soldier, just like a human soldier. And that's how they did it in World War II. And it's, you know, it was a wrenching experience for people who gave up their animals for this. I mean, you know, we love our animals today, and people during World War II very much did, and it wasn't easy for anybody. And, you know, doing the research for this book, you could go through the correspondence files, and there are all these letters from people, you know, writing to Fort Robinson saying, you know, how's my dog doing? And there were so many people that did that that the officers actually had to order the clerks to just send a form letter back because they weren't getting any work done.
Oh, yes, we love our dog. I mean, that is such a sacrifice, and that's just another example how loyal and how wonderful our dogs are, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and that's really what I wanted, why we wanted to do this story as a children's book. It's beautifully illustrated, and because these concepts of patriotism and sacrifice that we talk about a lot as Americans, they're pretty abstract, and sometimes they're abstract for adults, but they're really hard sometimes for kids to understand. But when you start phrasing that question, would you give up your dog to help your country? Or would you give up your dog to help others? It puts that in very concrete and meaningful terms because we know what that would feel like. I mean, we really get that. And so, you know, when we talk about this, especially when we talk about this with kids, that really puts that idea of something larger than yourself, giving up something that's so, you know, very personal, part of your family. And then you get to talk about the true story of people that, you know, actually did this and imagine how that they, you know, felt about it and why they would make that decision.
Well, I've got to ask you, even though this is a fictional book, I know that you did a lot of history and, you know, as you were writing it, did your research uncover something that maybe we didn't originally know that was left out of the history books?
Yeah, there's lots of stuff. It's as historically accurate as we can make it. The only part that's really fiction, it's a real dog, you know, that we know existed, and all the illustrations are based on actual photos from the time period. But one of the neat things was when they brought those dogs back to Fort Robinson in 1945 at the end of the war, they detrained him, and one of the trainers was a woman named Carol Rover, which is just a great name for a dog trainer.
Yes.
And so there was this woman that was one of the lead dog trainers there making these dog pets again. And the official military records that we had said that there were no women who were dog trainers in World War II, that it was all men. But Carol, she's since passed on, but Carol went to Fort Robinson, which is now a historic site, years ago when she was still living, and dropped off a copy of her in uniform, in her dog training gear, and with her orders that assigned her dog training duty at Fort Robinson to basically be like, I was here. And so it was really important for me to put that in the book. So she's the one in the children's book who trains Major so he can go back home again. And so she'd been written out of the historical record, and now she's back.
I love that. I'm glad you did that. Now, how hard was it to work with the illustrator to depict all the different things like the anxiety, happiness, you know, for dogs?
Well, Ming Hai was our illustrator, and she did an amazing job with this, especially because the Major soldier dog is told from the perspective of the dog. And so you're getting it from Major's point of view, what it was like to be a soldier dog in World War II. And we wanted to make sure that the illustrations reflected the dog's point of view. So a lot of them, you know, you're seeing people from the feet up, because, you know, dogs, that's their perspective of us, is they're looking at our legs. And then we also wanted to make it full of smells. So Ming did a great job of illustrating how Major is seeing the world through smells. Because if you think about dogs, their least important sense is really sight.
Right.
They really rely on their nose first, their ears second, and their eyes third. And we wanted to show that. And so she illustrated smells in the book so you can see what, you know, Major is smelling, so little smell trails that he's following. And really, that's how dogs see the world. If you're a dog owner and you know, you're used to walking your dog, that dog wants to sniff the same spot every single time. And you're always like, come on, you know, we're always here. And part of it is that's how they really orient themselves in the world and tell time. So how fresh a scent is shows them how much time has passed. And that's how they're really understanding everything. So that's why they want to, you know, it's like that's their orientation point is that smell.
Well, the illustrations are so amazing, I got to tell you. And I love this fact. You got to tell me about this. Major's best friend at the time of his deployment to Fort Robinson was 5-year-old Sid, now 82 years old and a veteran himself. Wow. So tell me, how did Sid's memories help you with your research and your writing?
Well, I through this process, I tracked down Sid. He had written us a note years before, basically telling the story of giving up his dog, Major, because Sid's a real person, Major's a real dog, when he was five. And so I tracked him down and found he was still living. And Sid remembers the story of giving up his dog like it was yesterday. If you think about your most powerful childhood memories, the things that you really, you know, remember really clearly, that's it for Sid. And so it was really hard for him to give up his dog when he was five. And then when he grew up, he was a career Army officer. He spent his entire career in the military. And he told me that the reason for his own service to our country is because his dog served. And he felt like if his dog had served, his best friend when he was five could serve, then he owed that same service. And so clearly, like, this experience shaped who he is as a person. And he's just a great guy. And he's just he's a wonderful human being. But this is the memory that is the strongest memory he has in his life.
I love that so much. Well, is this program a blueprint for the use of service dogs in the military and law enforcement today as we know it?
This is where it all started, really. If you, the people that trained dogs in World War II for this program, they went into civilian life after the war, and a lot of them, including Carol, who I talked about earlier, ended up training dogs like service dogs for the visually impaired, and spent years doing that. And they used the same techniques from World War II that they use today, and certainly we've improved those techniques since 1945. But this is the basis, and one of the key things that they discovered in World War II, it wasn't always the case before then, is that a dog, to be truly effective as a service animal, needs to work in partnership with the person, and there needs to be trust, and it can't be built on fear, because like in the early days with dogs, they would make the dog afraid. You know, the dog had to obey because it was going to get hit or something. In World War II, they realized that that is not an effective way to have a dog that you're relying on for your life. I mean, you need to be able to trust this dog to save your life.
Yeah.
And they realized that that has to be built on trust, and it has to be built on mutual trust, and has to be built on rewards rather than punishment. And that was, and you can read it in the manual from 1943, where they lay this out and say that, nobody is gonna beat these dogs. This is not how it's going to happen. We're going to do this based on trust. And that's a fundamental truth of service dogs today.
And so with service dogs and our pets, I mean, they're trained a little bit differently because they have a different job, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then they certainly, they trained them differently in World War II very much as well. Depending on what, dogs basically had basic training just like humans did, and they had to learn the basic commands, and then they went on for advanced training to do specific things, and then, just like people.
Well, I've got to ask you, is there any remnants from the War Dog program still at Fort Robinson today?
Yeah, you can visit Fort Robinson in western Nebraska, and you can see where all of this happened and their paths. We mow the paths where you can go through and see where the training things were. And then we have artifacts like dog houses and uniforms from people and loads and loads of pictures of dogs. And if you can't get to Fort Robinson, if you're not close to western Nebraska, you can go to history.nebraska.gov, and that's our website. And you can just put in war dogs into the search bar or Fort Robinson, and you will get loads of pictures of what this actually looked like, the actual thing. But if you buy the book, which you can buy it in Amazon or your local independent bookseller or Barnes & Noble, if you go to the back of the book, we also have historic pictures. You can see the real Sid and the real Major, what they look like, and they were really cute.
Major, a soldier dog. How do we follow you on social?
If you're following us, follow History Nebraska.
Okay.
Just look for History Nebraska on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and we're there. And we do put out a lot of cute dog pictures because we have tons of them in the archives.
Well, Trevor, what's next? You got another book coming up?
Not right now. We've been thinking about doing a young adult version of this to tell this story for an older audience. And certainly that's something that we're thinking about doing, but we're not there yet.
Well, the current book, Major, a Soldier Dog, what age group is good for this?
Well, it's really designed for 6 to 10 year olds,
okay,
in that range. But we've had loads of great success with even younger kids, and adults like it too. Younger kids, because there's a dog on every page, so you can find the dog. and older people, because of the historical content, because it is accurate history. We only fictionalized where Major goes in World War II because we just didn't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time to talk with me, and for the book, and for everything you continue to do. This is wonderful history, and now a whole new generation has a chance to learn this. So thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure, Kat. Thank you.